Hello, everyone. Dan Dillman here, bringing you a little of this, a little of that. Today's program is really a very special program because it is all about identity theft. Identity theft occurs when someone fraudulently obtains your personally identifiable information, usually for purposes of financial gain. Among the first questions that we're going to be looking at are, is identity theft always targeting adults? How big a problem is identity theft? Once your identity is stolen, can you ever get your ID cleared up? And then, how do you protect yourself from identity theft? In order to answer these questions, we have as our guest today Commander Jason Leverton of the DeKalb Police Department. Commander, it's a pleasure to have you to talk about identity theft. And if you would, please, the first question I have, is it always adults that are targeted for identity theft?
Although it is commonly thought that adults are the primary target for identity theft, and probably statistically so, it is also becoming more common for thieves to steal the identity of children and use their information to maintain an identity with which to work and to conduct banking.
Just how big a problem today is identity theft?
Identity theft has certainly become one of America's fastest growing crimes. However, many people learn about identity theft after it's too late.
Well, if your identity is stolen, can you ever get your identity cleared up?
It certainly can be a frustrating process, but there are many published resources available on the internet and in print form on how to recover from identity theft once one falls victim. But it's even more important to become educated before it happens.
So just how do you protect yourself from identity theft?
Well, there are several ways to protect yourself from identity theft. Preventing unauthorized access to your electronic devices with security measures is an important strategy. This can be done by utilizing passwords or fingerprint identification on handheld devices, or requiring an access code or security question on desktop computer devices.
I've heard the term password protection. Can you tell us what that means?
Sure. Protecting your passwords is very important. This includes choosing strong passwords, changing them frequently, and not using the same password for multiple accounts. Also, you want to create complex passwords that identity thieves cannot easily guess. Change your passwords if a company that you do business with has a breach in one of its databases. Also, don't use the same password for multiple online accounts. Create strong and various passwords and use two-factor authentication if possible. That prevents people from accessing your accounts with just the password.
Can you explain that just a little more in detail about the two-factor authentication?
Yes, this is something that's becoming a little more common, and some folks may have experienced it already with email accounts or perhaps bank accounts where a password is required, but then they'll also send a code to an email account or to on a text message to your phone in order for you to verify that it really is you that's using the password.
When one talks about the internet, you might wonder whether or not the internet and identity theft are related. In other words, why should one pay attention to the internet? How is it a threat to us?
Well, here's some things to watch out for, to be aware of. You want to avoid internet connections that are unsecured. And many times that will pop up in a window on the screen of your computer or your phone, and also pay careful attention to make sure you're on the entity's official website. In other words, you want to make sure you're on the actual website for the company that you're trying to contact with. Because what happens is this. Some thieves will copy a website and make it look really similar, quite close to the official one, so you will disclose information to them through an inquiry or through a purchase.
Well, now that we're in the internet, I was thinking about social media. What are some tips that you might give our listeners about personal security on social media.
Sure, really similar to the other aspect, but you want to keep your personal information private on social media sites. This is especially the case when you have accounts that are not set to private. Some folks actually use a variation of their real name, maybe a phonetic similar name that someone would recognize, but the spelling is different, so it couldn't get used to mimic your information in another place.
Since we're talking about the internet and social media, I'm thinking that your email may be a possibility here that could be a part of identity theft. It seems like there are a lot of suspicious emails out there that you hear about. What should we be looking for?
Yeah, you're sure right, Dan. There are a lot of suspicious emails or things that are called phishing attempts, attempts for you to input data so it can be used elsewhere. The number one thing is to make sure the email that you're opening or especially responding to is from a trusted source, someone that you've gotten an email from before, a company that you recognize. If it's a bank or a financial institution that doesn't normally contact you by email, you should be suspicious of that. Be aware of an alert that is trying to scare you into providing personal information. And you certainly want to be aware of scams that are out there, these get-rich-quick schemes that seems too good to be true and usually is.
You use the term phishing. You don't mean phishing as in F-I-S-H. Could you explain that just a little more?
Sure. A phishing attempt, in a way, it kind of has the same meaning, but in the internet version, it's P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G, an attempt to kind of catch you or to lure you or to scare you into giving personal information to a source that you wouldn't normally do.
And now we come to maybe one of the most important questions about identity theft. How can one protect the Social Security number?
Yeah, the Social Security number is probably the most direct access to your personal identity, especially as it relates to financial matters. So I know years ago it was much more common to do this, but really don't carry your Social Security card in your wallet. There's really no need to. Only give out your Social Security number when absolutely necessary. So cases where it might become more necessary is in person at a bank when you're opening a bank account or getting a loan, something of that nature. But carrying it around all the time is not a good idea.
In my experience, I've encountered businesses, but also educational institutions, which want to use your Social Security number as an ID number. And I've always thought that this was against the law, or it was certainly not something that they should be requesting. And I've had numerous arguments with salespeople who are only doing what they're told to do. But what would you say about that then?
Well, I do think that most educational institutions have gone away from using a Social Security number. Usually there's a unique number that's a student number that's assigned to an individual person. I would imagine there's some places out there that perhaps still do that, but we would hope that that's kind of a diminishing trend. You definitely don't want to give out information that's going to be personally identifiable to you. And it isn't just a Social Security number, but something that's your complete name, your birth date, and certainly more personal type information. You wouldn't want to give those out just because someone's asking for it.
I have a short story about Social Security number theft. And that is, if a person receives a phone call, which the caller claims to be, let's say, a Bank of America investigator, that person will probably tell you that you can verify this call by calling the number that you are given. Well, the number that you are given, if this is an attempted identity theft, will probably be the number which this caller has set up. And let's say you would call it, and the response is, Bank of America, may I help you? So always be sure that you call Bank of America or some other institution using the phone number that you have for service. And the way that some people engaged in identity theft operate is they might say, well, there's a problem with your card. There's been a suspicious purchase in a city or a town not near you. Could we identify you before we go farther by having the last four numbers of your Social Security number? And you give them that, which seems like a reasonable thing to do. Then you go on talking about this person who has supposedly used your credit card illegally, and they tell you, well, have you ever heard of LifeLock? And LifeLock is a way to protect your cards as well as other documents. But they'll say, well, we'll give you a year's free subscription or membership in LifeLock for being such a good customer of Bank of America. Now, it seems reasonable, doesn't it? Well, in order for you to have a membership in LifeLock, even though it's a free membership, they may say, and they will say, can I have the first five numbers of your Social Security? By now, you've forgotten, probably, that you've used the last four. And so as soon as you give them the first five, your Social Security number has been identified. So this is just an experience that I would pass along to our listeners to be absolutely careful in protecting their Social Security number. And now it's time for our break. Let you listen to some music for a minute or so, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. We have more questions than answers about today's subject, identity theft. Commander Leverton, what are some specific things that one should consider about protecting personal information?
One thing with paper documents, because that can be a source of theft from thieves, is to shred those receipts and credit card offers and bank statements, account statements, things like that. Just putting them in the trash is kind of an easy game for someone to open up a trash bag or get into a dumpster and get that information. So, and even your expired credit cards, would recommend cutting those up, cut them two or three times. And what I like to do is put half of it in one bin, maybe the trash bin, and the other half in the recycling bin. And that way they go to different places. But definitely for paper documents, shredding is the best way to go about that. Not everyone has the ability to burn things anymore as far as getting rid that way. There are services that can do document shredding, or you can purchase a small paper shredder at a pretty relatively low cost to secure your paper information.
Well, I'm thinking now about your mail. In the mailbox by your door, on your porch, perhaps, there. Or maybe it's out by the driveway. But should one be concerned about theft of your mail?
Yes. In fact, we've seen a resurgence of mail theft, and it's because of the information that's contained in it. So you do want to collect your mail every day. Place a hold on your mail when you're away from home so it doesn't pile up. And you can do this online. In fact, I believe the post office prefers that you go online and do a hold that way as opposed to coming into the office and creating a longer line at the post office. But either way is fine. And also pay attention to your billing cycles. If you feel like your bills or financial statements are coming late or you haven't received them, you know, contact the bank or the institution where those are coming from. Make sure that they were sent.
I see a lot of ads about credit reports. What should people do to monitor their credit? Could you help us with that?
Sure. It's definitely a good idea to monitor your credit. Some banks will do this for you. You can either inquire about that or perhaps pay a small fee with your account to do that. But you should at least review your credit report once a year. And what you want to look for is accounts on there that you don't recall opening or you know aren't yours. You can get a free credit report once a year from different online sources. Also, if you feel as though there was a breach of your credit, you can freeze your credit files, and there's some various internet sources, some online companies that can do that. So, Dan, I believe you have some of that information for the listeners.
Mm-hmm. I have the internet signature or the internet site of credit companies. And the first one is Experian. That's E-X-P-E-R-I-A-N, experian.com/freeze/center.html. Another one is Equifax. That's EQUIFAX.com. And online, you would seek freeze.equifax.com/JSP/SFF. And then we have TransUnion. That's two words, but it's add one word on the ID signature on the internet. TransUnion, capital TRANS, capital UNION. And then that is transunion.com/freeze.transunion.com/SF/security/freeze with a capital F for freeze, and then another /landingpage.jsp. Now, if you didn't get these, we'll come back and review much of what we're talking about in this program and later, perhaps later on. And so Commander Leverton is ready now to go on to the next subject, and that is to give us some warning signs of identity theft. In a sense, this is a review of what we've been talking about, but we think it's vital that some of this information is repeated. So that you can either write it down or you'll be hearing it more than once and it will be very familiar to you. So what are some of the warning signs then of identity theft?
Again, there are a number of them, and I'll highlight the ones that seem to occur most often. First of which, you might have bank and credit card statements that list withdrawals or purchase that you don't remember making or that you're sure that you didn't make. Another might be that you get a bill or an invoice for financial activity that you don't recognize, or maybe even for medical services that you didn't receive. Another would be that your credit report lists accounts or debts that you don't recognize. Another way would be to be contacted by a debt collector about a debt that you've never owed. And then continuing, you might have trouble potentially filing your taxes because the IRS reports that they already have received a return for you and you know you haven't sent it yet. And then lastly, you might receive notice from a bank or a company that you do business with that has suffered a data breach. And again, you would just want to work to protect your information. And just to kind of tie this together with the credit freeze, just to clarify that a little bit, a credit freeze isn't necessarily freezing things that you already have. It certainly is inconvenient if you have to close a credit account or a bank account or something like that. But what a credit freeze can do is prevent anyone from applying for or receiving additional credit accounts or utility services. So if you have all the utilities you need and the credit cards you need and so forth, you can freeze what you have, and that would prevent anyone else from being able to get credit in your name.
I might add that when you do freeze your credit, you will have a password that you must use then to unfreeze. If you want to make new purchases, you'll have to do that. But it's certainly worthwhile doing so because this protects your this protects you very securely.
Yes, it sure does.
What about online banking and bill payment? My daughter swears by doing all of her banking online. I'm a little skeptical. Is it all right to do it this way?
Well, the short answer is yes, it is okay. And I will acknowledge as well that I was kind of a late comer to the internet game when it came to doing banking and purchasing and so forth. But it really can be secure. So feel free to set up online access to your bank and your credit cards accounts, but just check them regularly and then contact the bank or the card provider immediately if you spot something suspicious. So my recommendation would be if you have online accounts, log into them fairly frequently just to double check to make sure that things aren't being used by someone else.
Well, what about paperless billing? Is that all right, do you think?
Well, yes. You know, it's certainly there's a big push for that from utility companies and banks and so forth. And it is okay to switch from paperless billing or to switch to paperless billing in financial statements. But again, just be sure that you're logging into it. I know a lot of folks have gotten those kind of statements by mail for years, and maybe they haven't even reviewed them that much. They set them off to the side, put it in a pile or in a file, and really never look at it. But if you're going to switch to that paperless billing, certainly would recommend probably once a month just to check and make sure that the billing statement is correct and that there's nothing on there that you haven't authorized.
As we talk about this, the thought comes to mind that a lot of people carry information about themselves in their car. Sometimes it's up on the dashboard. Sometimes it's on the seat. And it's not difficult at all as you, let's say, walk through the parking lot at a shopping mall to see how much information is inside those cars. So what would your recommendation be about this?
Well, yes, you certainly don't want to leave personal information easily viewed from outside your car. So even if you're locking your car, you don't want to leave your purse in there where it can be seen, or a wallet or something that would indicate that your personal identification is handy. Again, we've encountered thieves many times that they're not so much to steal items in your car like tools or extra clothing or even things that are more valuable, they're after identity. And people might take their cash with them and leave the rest of their wallet behind. But that's what some of these thieves really want, is just your ID card or your driver's license, or hoping that your Social Security number is in there so they have your complete identity to really go out and do whatever they want with it.
I noticed when I got out of the car to come into the studio today that my bank deposit slip was lying there on the dashboard of the car. And so it would have been very easy for someone to come by, take a picture through the windshield, and then they've got the account number, and they've got the routing number. So be careful about that when you go to the drive-up window at the bank. Put those slips away. And now we're coming to the end of today's show. This is the first program on identity theft. We want you to tune in to our next program, when we will continue more about this subject. I want to thank Commander Leverton for being with us today, for coming up from DeKalb to our Huntley studios. And I want you all to be with us next time. Take care. Drive carefully, and goodbye.